at least minimally, I ask the non-Muslims, when you leave from here, if you don't accept Islam, if you don't embrace Islam, if you never give the consideration to it, one thing that you would be able to do, that when somebody says that Muslims worship Muhammad, what will you tell them? That's not true. Muslims do not worship Muhammad. Muhammad was just a man and just a prophet. When they say to you that Islam is a fanatic religion, that Muslims hate Christians, what will you tell them? That's not true. And you will tell them that if some Muslims committed some crimes, if that is the case, you should not indict a global faith because of the action of a few people, just as we would not indict Jesus Christ for the actions of many so-called Christian nations and organizations for the perpetuation of slavery and war and so many things. But the issue here is not the crimes committed by Christians or the crimes committed by Muslims. The issue is that the message of Jesus Christ is pure and the message of the Prophet Muhammad and Islam is pure. And anyone who is pure in their hearts, they should be able to understand that. And our proposition to you is that you consider that Islam is a system of life that has the capacity to address the issues of the world and to offer some propositions of peace, both in your life and in your family, in your society, and the world. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta wa nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I will only answer questions on the topic. So if you ask me about Osama bin Laden, or September the 11th, or the war in Iraq, I won't answer it, because that's not on our topic. The first question, I'm a non-Muslim atheist, but I am starting to find out that there is a God, but too scared to face it or admit it. How do I get stronger? I think that one of the ways that you can become stronger in your conviction is to read. Because when you read, you don't have to be afraid, because you can read by yourself. And your heart will never lie to you. The heart is an instrument that God gave to the human being, that a person continues to counsel their heart and they are sincere. That means they don't lie to themselves. Go by yourself, sit by yourself, think, meditate, pray if you can. Or if you don't want to call it pray, reflect. Think about the heavens and earth. Think about your life. Think about your impending death. Think about the source of creation. Think about some of the things that we spoke about tonight. And if you're willing, read the Quran. When you open up the Quran, it's not going to explode in your face. It's not going to cause you to be brainwashed. You're not going to open the Quran and find that some kind of fragrance comes out of it that just makes you intoxicated and forces you to be Muslim. No. Read the Quran, like millions of other people just like myself did. In America, every year, more than 45,000 people accept Islam every year who used to be Christians or atheists. And last year, September the 11th, guess what? More than 78,000 people accepted Islam. And I am one of 2.3 million Muslims in America, new Muslims, who used to be Christians. Or atheist, or something. So I say that first of all, may Allah guide you. May Allah strengthen you. May He give you the courage to continue, because at least you started your journey by admitting, one, that you might have came here thinking yourself to be an atheist, but you can't call yourself an atheist any longer, because an atheist is a person that is convinced that there is no God, no religion. You're not convinced of that. You're already on your way. And we ask Allah to guide you. I don't know who brought you here, who invited you here, but it is their responsibility to provide you with the example and the information to help the seed of faith grow in your life. Where Jesus announced the coming of Muhammad, where did Jesus announce the coming of Muhammad? Peace and blessing be upon him. Well, first of all, I do not quote Bible. I say to you that in your scriptures there is such and such evidence. But I don't use the Bible as a proof because I'm not a Bible authority. But I say in your scripture there is such and such a proof. If you will read carefully in your Bible, you will find that when Jesus Christ was in the upper room in the Garden of Gethsemane, you remember that story, don't you? He was with his disciples and they asked him, "Oh, Rabbi, what shall happen to us when you leave us?" He said, "Fear not, for I will send unto you the Comforter, and you will know him, because when he comes, he will speak of me. And he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hears from God, that shall he speak. And your hearts and your minds are not prepared, but so be it, when he, the Comforter, comes, he will make all things plain for you. And what he receives from God, that shall remain with you forever." Now, these are four prophecies that Jesus made to his disciples. What's the first one? He will speak of me. In the Quran, there's a chapter called Maryam, which means what? Mary. God revealed to Muhammad the Quran, and one of the 114 chapters is named after the mother of Jesus Christ. Now, is that speaking of Jesus Christ and confirming him? Yes. In that chapter, it speaks about the birth of Mary, it speaks about the birth of Jesus Christ and all of his miracles and his life and his worship and his sacrifice. And God said clearly to us, neither was he crucified, nor was he killed. Now, don't you think that in a book that God revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he mentioned Jesus' mother, Mary, don't you think that God should have named one of those chapters after Muhammad's mother? He didn't, because that wasn't necessary. It was necessary to name one chapter after Jesus' mother or Jesus, because Jesus said what? He will mention me. He will confirm me. The Quran did that. Second thing, he said, he will not speak of himself, not words from himself, but whatsoever he hears, that shall he speak. That Muhammad, he does not speak from his own feeling, but whatsoever he hears from Almighty God, from revelation, inspiration, that is what he speaks. Is that what Jesus said? Thirdly, he said, your hearts and your minds are not prepared now, but howbeit when he, the Comforter, comes, that Counselor comes, he will make all things plain to you. The Quran says, verily this is a book that makes all things plain and clear. Is that what Jesus said? The fourth thing, he says that whatsoever he receives from God shall remain with you forever. The Quran has been intact as it was revealed for 1,424 years since it was revealed. And that's what Jesus Christ said. The Quran states that Allah is forgiving. What is the limit of forgiveness? There is no limit. Almighty God mentioned to us in a hadith al-Qudsi that his forgiveness is the greatest of all of his attributes. And also, yes, God is loving. Al-Wadud, Al-Wadud, the loving. Yes, God is loving. But he is also Hamim. تنزيل الكتاب من الله العزيز العليم غافر الذنب وقابل التوب شديد العقاب ذي الثور لا إله إلا هو إليه المصير. So Almighty God is not just loving and he is not just forgiving, but he is also swift in taking account. He's also the punisher. He's also the one that is able to hold humanity accountable. So he's not just a loving God, a relenting God, a redeeming God, a forgiving God. He's a God that also holds us accountable and will judge us and will hold us responsible for the gift that he has given us. That is also his attribute. Question. It is quite clear that Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, as a person, had a great impact on the world. Do you believe Islam as a religion revolutionized the world? The history is already clear. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, was a shepherd who himself was unlettered. He never went to school. He never learned to read. He was never taught to read. He was never educated. Yet this Quran was revealed in 23 years. And after the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, passed away. The whole of Arabia was under Islam. But that's nothing. There were three existing empires at the time. Rome, Persia, Abyssinia. 23 years after the Quran was revealed, Rome, Persia, Abyssinia became part of the Muslim Empire. And that is nothing. For 1,000 years, the Islamic Empire, the Islamic civilization, ruled the whole world. 1,000 years. This came from what? A revelation that a desert Arab received, who himself was illiterate, unlearned, in the desert, that no one considered even a thought, an idea, a consideration. This itself is a phenomenon that we can only attribute to the profundence of the God's word. Islam still has the resilience and the power to reform the world. Not under the sword, but under the command of Almighty God, because Islam, as I mentioned before, is a legislation. And that's why it became and can be a world government. It is not just a book to be read like poetry. It is not just an abstract book to be written for appreciation. It's a law, it's a book of revelation, inspiration, and legislation. Having faults in the past and being a single mother, can I become a good Muslim? Certainly. And how do you start? You start by saying, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. This is how you start. You start by taking the first step. Not because Muslims expect you to do it, because I guarantee you this, that if all the non-Muslims in here became Muslims tonight, formally, Khalid will not get $1,000 a head. No benefit will come to me for that, except the benefit that God gives for guiding somebody, for opening up the treasure of Islam to somebody, for being willing to share the information with somebody. That's the reward that we're looking for. The gift is yours. And if you're feeling it, do what you have to do while you're feeling it. Because the way the world is like a roller coaster. Tomorrow, you may not feel it. Take advantage of the inspiration when it comes to you. Because sometimes in life, the way the world is, inspiration is few and far between. You know that, don't you? That person who wrote that, I hope that you will be one of the people that will meet with me when we leave from this room. If Jesus was not sent to the Samaritans and the Gentiles, bearing in mind that Jesus' message was to prophesy about the Comforter, why was this so? Why wouldn't God want every tribe to know about the coming of the Comforter? Well, if you know the nature of Scripture, you'll know that God sent a prophet from among the Bani Israel. All the prophets came from a designated group of people, all the way from Moses, Abraham, all the way up. They came from a designated group of people in the beginning. But every prophet came only to a tribe, only to a specific people. This was God's way, his determination. God guided the world through a tribe, a group of people designated to be prophets, until finally God sent a person, a prophet, a messenger, from also a tribe, but not to that tribe, but to the whole world. This Comforter, Jesus Christ, his specific purpose was to put in check and correct the excesses and the deviations of the Bani Israel, and then to announce the good news of a Comforter. Now, why God chose Jesus Christ to speak of that Comforter? That's God's business. That is the fact. Such is the words of Jesus Christ that reflects that. And such is the words of Muhammad and the revelation that came to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that confirms that. What I would invite you to do is to look closely at the life of Jesus Christ, the real documented life of Jesus Christ, and the life of Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, and see how they interlock. Read the message of Jesus Christ, the real gospel of Jesus Christ, to the best of your ability. As a matter of fact, I point you to the gospel of St. Barnabas. Now, you won't find that in the popular New Testament, because that's five books that's called the Apocrypha. Apocrypha means expunged, canceled. Because at the Council of Nicaea in 354 years after